and wonderful worship together. Please be seated. We need to dismiss our children for children's church. They can head on out, so the teachers are heading ahead of them. Let's bless our kids as they go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We want to welcome all those that are visiting with us this morning again. We hope that you will feel very comfortable in this family of believers here. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, be reading verses 9 through 13. These are the words of Jesus. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Lord, we come to your word and ask that you will speak to us. Lord, thank you for the truth, the steadfastness of your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. It is settled in heaven forever and on earth, Lord. Have your way and speak to your people. Speak to us now. And Lord, we continue to lift up the Denny family and the loss of Janet's sister who passed. We continue to lift up David Flower and his family and his father who is in hospice. Lord, thank you that they had opportunities to visit. We continue, Lord, to lift up Jan Nelson in her grief. All of these, Lord, and many others that I'm not aware of, we give them to you, Lord. Speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you haven't opened your Bibles, then do so. And also, there's an outline in the bulletin that goes along with the message. If you find that helpful, to follow along and fill in the answers and make doodles, pictures of Pastor Tom. I haven't received any of those in quite a while. Let me start by way of introduction by telling you that I've retitled the message. Your outline probably says God's Gifts, and I retitled it God's Good Gifts. God's Good Gifts. After going over it, after making the outline, I realized, you know, I titled it wrong. You have good gifts or just gifts? Oh, okay. I did good then. I like receiving gifts. How about you? I especially like receiving gifts, something that is exactly what I need. You know, at least it seems that way to us. Sometimes we'll get a gift and we're like, oh, man, that is exactly what I need. Let me give you an illustration. I was out of pizza money. Yeah, see, we have to budget it because otherwise I would like spend way too much money on pizza. So I was out of pizza money for the week. So lo and behold, someone gave me a gift, and it was a Papa John's gift card. It was perfect. It was just what I needed. The Lord is good. He knows how much I need pizza. Seriously, though, we like to receive gifts, and we especially like gifts that are things that we really need. Things that are really going to be helpful. Things that meet a particular and specific need that we have. How much do we enjoy that? So, when we come to Jesus, when we are His disciples, and we give Him our life, and we follow Him, and that's what being a disciple is, coming to Jesus, giving Him our life, laying our lives down to follow Him and surrendering to Him, when we do that, then God has some good gifts for us. And last week, I began the year by challenging us either to come to Jesus and be his disciple or go deeper with Jesus. Go deeper with him as a disciple, if you are already. This morning, I want to help us to see, and I hope we will see this, that when we are his disciples, God has good gifts for us. Really good gifts. Those gifts are for our needs. He wants to give us good gifts for our needs. He really does. And I think sometimes we have misunderstood this. And yes, I understand that there are trials and tribulations, and we know that Jesus promised we would have persecution upon this earth. But we also have a promise right from the lips of Jesus that our Father knows what our needs are, and our Father wants to give us good gifts. And so the main point of this message is this, that when we come to him, when we give him our life, and we follow Jesus, when we are his disciple, Jesus teaches that if we will ask and seek and knock, our Heavenly Father will give us good gifts, and most of all, he will especially give us his Holy Spirit. Let's break it down. I'm going to do it a little bit different today. I'm going to start with what is the principle here. What is the principle that Jesus is teaching? And then we'll look at the illustration that Jesus gives. So, the principle, by the way, he uses, right before these verses, he uses a parable in verses 5 through 8 to teach this, to teach the principle of persistence, and even uses the word boldness, that we should come boldly to God, expecting he will answer our needs. Sometimes we don't have that kind of an attitude. Sometimes we kind of have the hat in hand attitude, like, well, God, you know, I'm not worthy, and I have no right even asking you, and I'm just a puny earthworm, and I'm lower than a snake's belly. And you know, you don't have to do that to God. You don't have to grovel to God. First of all, it doesn't do anything. By groveling before God, don't think that you're earning bounty points, because you're not. I do think there is a mixed motivation sometimes in our heart where we think, well, you know, if I grovel enough, God might give me something. He might bless me. No. There's only one reason only, that God would give us anything. And that is because we've come to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. None of us has any right in and of themselves to come and to ask God for anything or to expect God for anything. The only way that we can be pleasing to God, that we can expect things for God, is if we have surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. I preached a funeral this past week. Some of you may remember Frank and Tammy Kearney that were a part of this congregation for some years. And Frank died and went on to be with the Lord this past week and preached his funeral. And I preached from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, where Jesus unequivocally states that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, Jesus' claim is exclusive. And he says to you and to me, if you want to know the Father, if you want the Father's benefits, if you want the Father's blessings, if you want the good gifts that the Father has for you, there's only one way that we can receive them. That is through Jesus Christ. That's why we must be his disciple. We must come to him, give him our life, and follow him as the Lord in our lives. And so the parable teaches that we should come boldly. We should persist. That's what the parable is all about. So as we break this down, number one, the principle is this, that we are to persevere in asking for our needs because God will answer us. And I added this, he will give us good gifts. He will give us good gifts. This is something that you can bank on. You can absolutely bank on it. Verses 9 and 10, Jesus teaches us God will hear our prayers as we ask, as we seek, as we knock. That is an illustration or an analogy of persevering. And when we do that, God will hear and he will answer and he will give us good gifts. It's interesting that Jesus is emphatic here He is emphatic. And then he uses an illustration to say to us, do you not see this? That you, even though you are evil, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you good gifts? Now, let me pause here for just a second and say, these good gifts are for our needs, not necessarily for our wants. And that's where we get a little trouble sometimes. We get a little mixed up about what is our needs and what is our wants. And I would even go on to say, though, that God tells us when we delight ourselves in Him, He even gives us the desires of our hearts. Something that may not necessarily be a need, but a desire of our hearts. It's Psalm 34:7. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And what you find as you come to Jesus and you surrender your life to Him and you travel on following Him in your life, God begins to change your desires. I remember making that commitment to the Lord. The Lord, I'm going to follow you. I surrender my life to you, and I'm going to follow you in my life. And you know what? That's a scary decision. Sometimes it's a frightening prospect, because what you're saying is, God, I'm relinquishing control. I'm taking control, which I have, and I am putting it into your hands. See, I had my life all mapped out. I've told you this story before. I had started college. I was in the electronic engineering program. Computers, the personal computer was on the horizon, and it was a wide open field, and everybody was jumping into it, and I wanted to get in on the bandwagon. And I went into a program at the community college of electronic engineering, and I said, you know, I'm going to get a job with Bell and Howell Labs up in North Jersey. They're hiring newly graduated college students with this degree. And I was like, man, I got it made, Lord. I got it all mapped out. And then God decided to mess with my plans. And He did it in a way that I had just absolutely no inkling, no comprehension of it. He said, Tom, I want you to be a preacher. I'm like, what? You see, I had said to the Lord, Lord, my plans, my control, I put it into your hands. And so the Lord was going to take me at my word. And to see what I would do with that, what I would listen and follow. Jesus is emphatic here. As you seek Him, God knows your needs better than you know your needs. In fact, we were told in Philippians that as we ask for our needs with prayer and petition, we let our needs be known to God. He knows our needs, what? Even before what? Even before we ask, He knows our needs. How cool is that? He knows what your needs are. And sometimes we get that a little mixed up. So, see the progression that Jesus says here in verses 9 through 10. He says, ask, seek, knock. It's a progression. I remember my first job, well, it was actually my second job. My first job was cleaning horse manure out of stalls. Yeah. Very humble beginning. My second job was working on pallets, and I remember not making much money working on these dirty, nasty pallets, repairing them. My boss was making a lot of money, but I wasn't making much. And as I looked towards graduation of high school, I was like, I need a better job than this. So I began to ask, Lord, I need a job. And He's like, okay, look into classified, dummy. You see, you don't just sit there and say, God, I need a job. God, I need a job. God, I need a job. He said, ask, seek, knock. So I began to ask. I began to look. Classified, talking to people. I began to seek. You have to go and fill out an application. You have to fill out a resume and send it on in. Sometimes they require pre-interviews, screening interviews, and so on and so forth. Things have changed a lot today. So you fill out the application. Then you call. It says, ask, seek, knock. Now, I think that means ask for the job. So I asked for it, and I got the job. It's not because of Tom. I believe God was directing me. He was meeting a need with a good gift. I got a job that paid very, very well working in the hospital, the local hospital. And I worked there for several years. And there was a lot of good training and teaching that I needed as a young person. God gave me a good gift, a good gift. And so ask, seek, knock. You got to be active. Jesus is teaching, you got to persevere, you got to be active. Make the phone call. Call the person that you gave the application. They've got 100 applications sitting on their desk. So who's going to get the job? Guess what? The one who asks for it. And here's what you tell them. This is a little side note, a little sidebar. You tell them, I will work hard for you. I will work and make your business successful. I'm going to work to bless you. And then you better do it. That's having a good Christian work ethic. You're working to bless the person that has hired you. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we're always looking for what is going to be our benefit. What are the blessings I'm going to get out of this? But we ought to go into a work situation saying, I'm being called to bless this person, work in this person. Now, sometimes you get into a situation where it's not workable. That's okay. You can look for another job. That's all right. And so he says, knock, which is that last word there, which is kind of putting an end cap on this process of perseverance. I remember when our kids were younger. You know how this is if you've had kids. They come up, oh, Dad, could I have such and such a thing? It would happen a lot. And here's what my response would be. And Brenda and I would talk about this because we don't want to always be too eager in giving things to kids, our kids, because they don't learn that way. And so we would answer, we'd say, we'll see. You don't always have to give your kids everything they want. Sometimes you need to make them earn it. And why did we say, we'll see? Because we wanted to see if they were serious about this. If this was just a passing thought, passing crazy thought, like we have sometimes, or we're going to come back to us and say, you know, I was really thinking about that, and I really do have a need in this, and it would be nice. It would be nice to have a car. Okay. How much money do you got? We want to see that they're serious about it. And I think sometimes God does the same thing with us. He wants to know, is this really a need? Or is this just a passing fancy? Or is this just something frivolous? And the Lord has His ways of doing that. And so sometimes He makes us wait. And He wants to see, are we really serious about this? And when we do that, it gives Him the opportunity to speak to us and teach us in the middle. How many of us know that sometimes things that are just given to us freely with no consideration and no skin in it are sometimes gone by the wayside? Sometimes we end up sticking them in the garage and they gather dust. And so the question I ask you this morning is, what do you need? What do you really need in your life? Wherever you're at, in your station of life right now, your age, your situation, what do you need? What do you really need? Are you thinking about it? Are you asking the Lord about that need? Are you praying about it? And then are you listening to the Lord and to help discern and determine, is this really a need in my life or is it just a desire? And if it is a need, if you come to a determination that, Lord, this really is a need, Lord, will you fulfill this need? Will you answer and fulfill this need in my life? How many of us do that versus, oh, I have this need, boom, I'll go out and do it. Go out and get it. Without giving the Lord any opportunity to show Himself faithful to you, and watch this, you with me, say amen, to give you the best that He has for you. Sometimes we go out and we get the second best or third best. And then we wonder why. Oh, man, Lord, why did this relationship turn out like this? I thought this was going to be great, but man, this guy, he's a real jerk. Well, this girl, she's a real crazy person. You know, did you ask the Lord about it? Or did you just go on, you know, whatever those crazy sites are, Match.com, and some of us ought to be Crazies.com. You know, I'm crazy, you're crazy, maybe we'll get along. I'm just having a little bit of fun. There's nothing wrong with those sites, but are you seeking God? Or are you just, you know, whatever person comes along, you just settle for that. Someone shared testimony that they were interacting, communicating with somebody, and it seemed like, you know, it was going well. They hadn't met the person yet. But, you're the one that God has brought into my life, and you're going to be the one that I'm going to marry. And, you know, that sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds good to our ears. We all want to be wanted. And then the next question came. Oh, I'm in a bind. Could you lend me $25,000? I hope you see a red flag in that. I hope. There's all kinds of things out there. And listen, we have an enemy. Watch this. Who masquerades as an angel of light, we're told in the scriptures, and he wants to give you a counterfeit gift for what you see as a need, which may really be just a desire. But he is more than willing to give you a counterfeit gift. And unfortunately, many of us don't have enough discernment to see the difference between the two. You remember Jesus' temptation? The enemy comes, the evil one comes to Jesus, and he says, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you would just come and worship me. Now, what's interesting, there's a couple of interesting things there. Number one, he had the authority on this world to give those things to Jesus. Do you know that? Satan can give you wealth and prosperity and affluence and influence. He can give you those things. Did you know that? Oh, but there's a price. There's a price. Bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord only. Worship the Lord God only. See, he saw Satan's subterfuge. He saw his counterfeit. And what he was basically saying to Jesus, you can bypass the cross. You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. You don't have to endure the cross. So what are your needs? Are you really seeking God for those needs? Or are you just accepting the counterfeit? Because again, Father God knows what you really need. And, watch this, he really does want to give you a good gift. Amen? Oh, that's pathetic. I want to build faith in you this morning. God wants to give you a good gift. Amen? Do you believe it? These are the words of Jesus. Your Father in heaven will give you good gifts. And your Father will also give you the Holy Spirit. The problem is, we can have wrong motives in asking. Sometimes we are not asking seriously. We're not looking with discernment. And sometimes we can ask with wrong motives. James chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Lynn Richards is going to read that for us.
You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure.
Wow. That just really cuts to the heart of things, huh? And by the way, all of us, including me, have mixed motivation. There's not one of us that are pure. And this is part of the reason that we need to get before God and seek Him about our needs, is because we are subject to mixed motivation, wrong motives. Sometimes we want something because we want it. And we're accustomed to getting it. Some of us have gotten to a station in life where we can go out and buy whatever we want. Money will buy it all. But money is not our God. And it goes on to say, Jesus said these words, you cannot serve God and money. You either love the one and hate the other, or hate this one and love the other. You have to decide who's going to be Lord in your life. But in America, in our culture, man, we can buy anything. You know, go on eBay. You can buy it. Go on Amazon. You can buy it. It'll be there in a day or two. You know, they got these new drones that'll deliver it to your doorstep. You'll be there in 2 hours. This is not helping us as a culture. I want it, and I want it now. You can get anything there. It's amazing. So we have to make sure that we're seeking God who knows our need so that we're not asking with the wrong motivation. Now, the Lord knows this. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is compassionate. I love Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms. And right in the middle of the psalm it says, the Lord is gracious, compassionate. He remembers our frame that we are just dust. I'm so happy for that. It also has a phrase in there. It says, he has regard for the simple-minded. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He knows I'm simple-minded. He knows I'm just dust. And he knows that even in our best day, our motivation is mixed. But he still wants to give us good gifts. He still wants to fulfill our needs with good gifts. So let me give us the illustration. Number two. Though we are evil, we give good gifts. Father God is good, and he gives us very good gifts. And most of all, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Jesus uses this illustration here. He says, which of you fathers, and we could really say both fathers and mothers, if your son or your daughter asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Actually, that sounds kind of fun. I'm just having fun. It's okay. I'll tell you a little story. We had a bunch of kids over. This is probably a year ago. And they had some snacks out. Kenny is having some of his friends over. I love interacting with his friends. They don't know what to make of me. And so I had received a package in the mail, and it had these styrofoam noodles in it. And one of the packages of snacks was these Cheetos, you know, the big fluffy kind. So I took these styrofoam noodles and I put them out in a bowl and set them right there in the front of the table. And this girl came up and she sat down at the table and she went, oh, she grabbed them and she started chewing on them. And I'm like, trying to hold it in. And like 2 seconds, she's like, ah, what is this? And she looked at me, she said, Pastor Tom, what did you do? She knew it was me. Oh, it was fun. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to have fun. But he asked the question, if your son or your daughter asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Of course not. It's a rhetorical question. Of course not. We, though we are evil, would not give a wrong gift to our child purposely, unless you're trying to play a joke. And he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven give us good gifts and give us the Holy Spirit? Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it's the parallel passage of this passage here in Luke. He says this, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Someone used this as an example. Oh, you see, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. The Bible records the numerous times that Jesus taught. And these are just one or two of many times that he taught. And certainly he used the same statements, the same teaching, the same parables over and over again. These are just snippets of his teaching. At the end of the Gospel of John, John writes, I suppose that if all that Jesus had said and did was written down, there would be not enough books in the world to contain all that he did. It's not a contradiction. These are complementary teachings. And so here he says he will give good gifts. And so, knowing this, we ask, we seek, we knock. This is one of the benefits of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can expect your Father to give you good gifts. I'll use an illustration of getting confidence with God. I've told you this story before. When I got into college, the Lord told me no more dating. That didn't go over too well. No more dating. I'm like, why, Lord? Why? So because you don't know how to treat your sisters. Scripture says you should treat females, as sisters in Christ. You don't know how to treat your sisters. He said, no more dating. I fought against it. Long story short, though, when I finally surrendered that to the Lord, put it in His hands, I went for a long, long time, next 20 years, with no women, no girls. I'm just trying to make sure y'all awake. Actually, it was a year later that the Lord brought Brenda into my life, my brown-eyed girl, sitting over in the library, batting her eyes at me. And I think back to my life. You know, I'd been heartbroken, like some of you have gone through, because you started dating, and before you know it, you're playing marriage without being married. And the big popular thing today is you move in together before you're married, you live together, and then you even have a child before you get married. We do it all backwards in our culture. It's not God's way. He tells us to do these things not to spoil our fun, but so that we're protected and we have the kind of relationship that's going to endure and our hearts don't get broken. My heart was broken. And God had to mend that. And Brenda experienced the same thing too. You see, God knew exactly what we needed. And when we finally came to the point where we trusted Him with it, where we said, Lord, I guess You kind of know best. Lord, I guess You kind of know me best and You kind of know what I need best. I guess I'll trust You with it. Why does it take us so long to get there? We run ahead of the Lord. And this is the benefit of being a disciple. You can expect God to give you a good gift, the best gift. Ah, but it gets better. Watch this. B, Jesus teaches us that the Father's good gift of His Holy Spirit is what we need the most. Oh, can you say amen? His Holy Spirit is what sometimes we need the most. You see, sometimes, oh Lord, I need this person to fulfill me, to complete me. I just feel so empty, Lord. I just need this person. I need a boyfriend. I need a girlfriend. I need a friend. And you know what? That person is not going to complete you in your life. Now, don't misunderstand me. I do believe that God desires us to be completed in marriage. But you and I must be first complete in Him, and then we're ready for marriage. If we're not complete in Him, then He wants you to work to that end that we're getting ourselves surrendered and completely surrounded by the Lord. And how does He do that? He does that through His Holy Spirit. He meets the needs that we have, the deepest needs that we have, through His Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that fulfills our needs, our deepest needs. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. Lorena Henry is going to read that for us.
On the last day, and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Thank you, Marina. Jesus gave his Spirit to us. Why? To birth new life into us, to apply the blood of Jesus to our hearts so that we can be forgiven and cleansed of our past sins and our past failures, to begin to birth in us a new life whereby we walk with him. And then that Spirit man, that Spirit woman that is within us begins to grow into the true image of God that he has for us, that Brother Roger preached about a few weeks ago, to conform us to the image of Christ. He births that in us, and that's where true growth comes from. It doesn't come from the externals. Going to Bible study, going to church, in and of themselves, they're okay, they're good things, but they do not produce any growth in us. It is the Spirit of God through the Word of God who works to create within us and conform the image of Christ within us. And that's why Jesus gave his Spirit. And we're told over and over again that the Spirit of God cries out from within us. Romans chapter 8 tells us there are times that we don't even know how to pray. We can't even come up with the words. And the Spirit prays through us. He intercedes through us with words that are unutterable. Groanings. You ever have that? You're at a place where you say, oh God, I don't even know what to pray. Oh God, you just pray. And you can know that the Spirit of God is praying through you if you have the Spirit of God within you. We're told that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has raised us up into new life. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Listen, if he can raise Jesus from the dead, he can overcome any problem, any issue, any need in your life or my life. Amen? His power is not limited. It's only limited by us. What we will surrender, what we will allow him to do. And the Spirit cries within us, oh, Abba, Father, I'm your child. You've adopted me. I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. I don't know about you, but that's an anchor that the writer of Hebrews talks about. The anchor of our soul. That no matter how the winds and the waves are blowing in life, I'm yours, Lord. I belong to you. And we know at the end we're going to hear the call of the Spirit where he says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord. Come, Lord. I don't know about you, but there's days I'm like, oh, Lord, just today would be a really good day for you to come. It'd be a good day. But the reality is every day would be a good day for the Lord to come. Amen? And except for all those that God wants to save and bring to himself, his coming is imminent. If we want the Spirit of God, if we want that Spirit that meets the deepest needs in our life and fulfills the deepest longings in our life, we must first come to Jesus, give him our life, follow him, make him Lord. And then Jesus says this, watch this, we're going to end. Will not your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who what? To those who what? He will give you his Spirit if we'll ask. If we'll ask. But there's a condition. You come with arms wide open and will surrendered. That's the walk of Jesus. If you want his Holy Spirit, if you want him to meet your deepest needs with his good gifts, you come with no preconditions, no ulterior motives. Say, Lord, I'm yours. I surrender. Do with me what you will. And that means whether you're a Christian or not, whether you've not yet come to Christ and surrendered, or whether you're at a place now where you recognize, yes, I've initially surrendered to the Lord, but he's calling me deeper. He's calling me to a new level of surrender in my life. You see, coming to Jesus initially is just the first step of a lifelong walk. That's why we say, come to Jesus and continue to come to him. Follow him as your Lord. Let's pray. I'm going to ask my elders, my deacons, deaconesses to come. Lord, I believe you are speaking to many this morning. And Lord, I just want to be obedient. I believe there are those that need to surrender, either initially or ongoingly, a fresh surrender, a new, deeper commitment. I believe, Lord, that you desire to do a new work, a good work, in many hearts this morning. I believe, Lord, that you're just longing and waiting for your children to come and surrender and lay it down. Lord, I believe that Jesus has shown us here that you do want to give good gifts and you do want to give your Holy Spirit. Lord, you're so willing. You're so willing. But Lord, we hesitate. We're concerned about what others might think and we don't want to embarrass ourselves and so we miss out. Oh God, don't let us miss out this morning. Let's stand. If that's you, if God is speaking to you, I invite you as we're in this moment, I believe, of Holy Spirit ministry. You come. And even if you don't know what to say, you don't even know what to pray, you come. Let God minister to you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a holy moment. This is a Holy Spirit moment. He wants you to come and receive. Do you want it? Do you want it? Then come. You come. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Worldly passions I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. Surrender all. Sing that chorus again. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I Father, I bless your people. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for speaking to us. You have encouraged our heart. You have challenged us, Lord. May we go forth. May we walk close with you every day this week. And Lord, may we bring you glory and honor and praise. I pray your blessing over your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.